Coming up on NFL Live, Tom Brady says that for the first time ever, he has an offensive head coach. It's an interesting way to frame his new coach versus his old coach. And Alex Smith has officially been cleared for training camp. We'll take you all access with how he made his recovery and take you there live as he enters the three-man quarterback competition in Washington. And the Ravens have shown interest in signing Dez Bryant during training camp. Does Lamar Jackson have enough weapons on the outside to take the next step? We are off and running on NFL Live, along with Kimberly Martin, Booger McFarland, and Mike Tannenbaum. I am Field Yates. Let's dive right into the action as the Bengals had their first full pads practice this afternoon, and all eyes will be on rookie quarterback Joe Burrow, who will try to bring this team back from a 2-14 record in 2019. Here's the number one overall pick on his confidence as being ready for week one.
Very confident. You know, I feel very comfortable with the offense right now. I feel very comfortable with my guys. And I think, I think we're going to be pretty good on offense. I'm excited more so than nervous, I would say.
Does that emotion surprise you? That you aren't nervous? I mean, it's human nature, you know, starting a new job like that.
Absolutely not. Have you you ever heard anything else about me about being nervous?
All right, I love the confidence from Joe Burrow. And there's excitement in Cincinnati with him under center. But our football power index is the wet blanket as they rank him as the third worst team in the league this season, ahead of only the Jets and the Jaguars. Now, they are coming off of a 14-loss season, tied for the most in Bengals franchise history. But are we discounting the impact the Heisman Trophy winner can make? I mean, Kimberly, 30th for the Bengals, third worst. I can only say ouch.
Yeah. But I would say I would agree, especially when you look at that division. Just you look at the Steelers, the Ravens, the Browns. There's a reason the Bengals were in position to draft Joe Burrow number one overall. They weren't any good, and they haven't been good since 2015. That was the last time they had a winning record. So I understand the excitement. I'm glad that Joe Burrow is confident starting a new job. I understand being confident in a new job, too. But the reality is that they have a lot of holes, and the offensive line is a big question mark coming into this year. So all that aside, Joe Burrow can be the guy, but this isn't just an add water, you add Joe Burrow and everything's great. This is a building process, and it'll take some time.
Yeah, you're probably much more level-headed on it than I am. I'm just excited. But Booger, what are the reasonable expectations for the Bengals this season?
Well, I think it just depends on how fast they want to bring Joe Burrow along. If it were me, I would approach this not trying to win right now, but as a 10-year project, because you want him to be your quarterback that long. And I think they need to make sure they build the foundation correctly, because if you build the foundation correctly, the house on top of that foundation will be solid. So don't try to cram Joe Burrow to be ready for week one thinking that's the end-all, be-all. The end-all, be-all is to have a franchise quarterback that you can build around and have the ability to win every season. Joe's a rookie. He's going to make a ton of mistakes. Look at Peyton Manning. Look how many interceptions he threw his rookie year. But that's to be expected. Take the time. They'll be better off for it. You may not get the fruits of that labor this year, but you'll get it eventually down the road.
I agree with Booger. I really don't understand why they didn't keep Andy Dalton. When you look at some of these other first-round quarterbacks, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, certainly with Jordan Love, they're not going to play their first year. They're going to learn. There's experienced players around them. And I don't understand why you don't keep Andy Dalton. Joe Burrow's never taken a snap under center. Can you imagine the first time he's taking a snap is against the Chargers, and you're looking at Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram? You have a couple of young, talented offensive linemen. Durability is an issue with Billy Price, Jonah Williams. And you don't want to stunt this guy's growth by having him get hurt early on. So I believe in Zach Taylor. I believe in Joe Burrow, but let's put him in a position to be successful. Again, no offseason program, no joint practices, no preseason games, and his first time he's touching the ball, he's looking at a really good Charger front seven.
Mike, there's probably a healthy debate about whether quarterbacks can learn much from just watching the games, but are you suggesting that maybe there's actually more harm than good that can be done for Joe Burrow by being the starter right out of the gates?
Absolutely, Phil. I agree with what Booger said, and I've seen it firsthand in my career, which is I've seen guys like Chad Pennington sit and really benefit from just learning and observing. And I think when you look at someone like Burrow in particular, with a very suspect offensive line. A couple of those offensive linemen are talented, but they've had their own durability issues. Why would you put them in harm's way when you have a very competent veteran in Andy Dalton where he could learn? Again, this is a 10-year decision, not a 10-minute decision. And if he would get hurt this year, not knowing protections, a lot of things can happen. You're just going to stunt his growth. And again, this is not about trying to win this year. It's about what can we do to build that house moving forward.
Players probably won't like what I have to say, but I'm one of those people who think that QB should sit. I do think it benefits them. The NFL is littered with guys who went to bad organizations, and it did stunt their growth. Like, they did have growing pains. Even if they have a good rookie season, years 2 and 3, there are bumps along the way, and you want to make sure that if you're going to get a franchise guy, you've got pieces around him. Offensive line, that there are protections, there are running backs that could help him. Like, the whole team is set before you try to force him in there and make him carry the team.
You know, just to be clear, and I do agree with building it slowly and that foundation I talked about, and this is a 10-year decision, but you got to play, though. I think putting him on the field is the right move, but don't try to force the entire offense. Give him something he can be successful with early on. Make it really, really simple, really elementary, but I do think you have to play. This is a game in the NFL where you don't get any better sitting on the bench. Like, the days of Aaron Rodgers sitting there for 3 or 4 years, those days are over with, especially when you get a rookie quarterback from a salary cap perspective. Mike T, you understand this. It behooves the Bengals to have Joe Burrow playing and starting at a high level on his rookie deal. That way you can reap the benefits of that by building your football team around a quarterback on his rookie deal. Because if he is that franchise guy and he is a 10 or 15 year guy, when he gets to that second deal, it makes it inherently tougher to build a football team with a quarterback that's making 30, 35, it could be $40 million by the end. So I think Burrow needs to play now, but just bring him along slowly. Don't try to give him week 15 offense in week 1.
Well, I can't wait to watch Joe Burrow, but our eyes on the ground until the games begin belong to our ESPN Bengals reporter, Ben Baby. And Ben, earlier we heard from Joe Burrow, who exuded plenty of confidence off the field, but on the practice field, how did Joe Burrow look?
You know, Joe had his first padded practice today, and it was more or less a mixed bag. I think Joe had to contend with the rain, especially at the end of practice. And, you know, he threw some touchdowns in red zone drills, you know, had a couple of turnovers, had a fumble to snap as the rain started coming down, and then had an interception towards the very end. But when we talked to Zach Taylor afterwards, he said that Joe Burrow is where he wanted him to be and on the trajectory that they expect through the first few days of training camp. Now, Joe will be the first one to admit that the red zone didn't go as great as he would have liked, and it's something that he will work on. But like you said, that confidence is unwavering, and when you talk to the coaches and the players and those in the building, that confidence comes across crystal clear and is a good sign for them as they prepare for week 1.
Well, it will certainly help if he has the right pass catchers around him. And Ben, what's the latest on A.J. Green's health after missing a couple of days of practice?
Yeah, you know, yesterday, A.J. Green started out well, was catching balls from Joe Burrow, which is something I know that the coaching staff and especially this fan base really want to see. And then towards the end of practice, A.J. appeared to tweak his left hamstring and missed the rest of practice and stood with his teammates today. He wasn't in pads. He did not participate. Zach Taylor said all of it's precautionary. He said that he's seen enough through the first couple days of practice that he feels good about putting AJ out there on week 1 if he needs to. AJ will not be participating in this week's scrimmage, a decision that Zach said had been made well before what happened yesterday. So it sounds like whatever has happened with AJ is minor, especially compared to what happened with his ankle last season. And right now they just want to take care of these guys, and especially a guy like AJ, who will be huge in terms of Joe Burrow's development as he continues this rookie season.
Yeah, conservative approach makes a bunch of sense. Ben, thanks so much for your insight. Looking forward to following along all season along the Joe Burrow hype train, at least in my eyes, the hype train. Let's stay in the AFC North and go to the champs from last year's division race, which was the Ravens, who have also begun their padded practices. And around the league, there are high expectations for quarterback Lamar Jackson. Here's his head coach, John Harbaugh, and how he anticipates Lamar Jackson's performance to be in year 3.
He likes to be in the middle of stuff. He's always in. If there's something going on, Lamar's probably in the middle of it, you know, and I think that's just his personality. He's a competitor. He's fun to be around, and he wants to win. Those are all good things.
I appreciate that coming from my peers, especially because we grind so hard together, and our goal is to win championships, and for guys to look at me and me being so young to be like, you know, the guy, the franchise guy, I appreciate that. I just know I got to keep doing what I'm doing and keep trying to build up and bring a championship home someday. We got a lot of great receivers who's here right now, but it's up to the front office. I'll be seeing Dez Bryant on Instagram and stuff like that, running his routes and competing against cornerbacks, and he'd be looking pretty good on social media.
All right, Booger, Dez did touch down for his workout last night at the Baltimore airport. It'll take place in the next couple of days or so. Does the fit actually make sense here for Dez Bryant with the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, Phil, let's look at it this way. Let's take the name Dez Bryant out of the way. And if I told you there was an aging receiver, over 30 years old, average athletic ability, coming off his Achilles, can he help a football team? You would probably say, well, I need to see him work out. Forget the name Dez Bryant. I need to see this guy work out. And so that's what I would say in this situation. Dez Bryant, we haven't seen him play football in a couple years. Coming off an Achilles for a guy that wasn't fast and explosive already. Now we're going to ask him to come into a run-based offense who we all know receivers want the football and to see if he can help. I don't know, Field. I honestly have no idea. I don't pay attention to Instagram workouts and social media workouts. I want to see him in a team environment, see what he does, see how he impresses the coaches. But I wouldn't worry so much about the name. I would worry about how Harbaugh and how they look at his workout to see if he can honestly fit in that offense, not only from a player standpoint, but from a personality standpoint. Because you know the Ravens receivers, they don't get a lot of footballs. And Dez likes the football. So many question marks as it pertains to Dez Bryant. First and foremost, let me see a guy coming off an Achilles. Let me see, can he move at all? Because I have my doubts there.
Agree with Booger. I mean, Dez isn't geriatric. I mean, he hasn't played in a long time, but the Achilles, I just want to know, can he still get separation? Can he still be that big body threat downfield? Can he at least be a threat in the offense? They run the ball a lot, but with this very young receiving core, Dez can be he's a veteran guy. They can learn from him. And I think this time away from the game, Dez is looking for a job. I don't think he's going to come into any situation, at least I would hope not, come into any situation demanding a ton of balls. Like, he understands, like, I've been out, I've got to prove that I'm healthy. But let's be honest, the game is more fun with Dez Bryant. I know we don't want to pay attention to the name, but the game is more fun when Dez Bryant is on the field. So if he is healthy, I like it.
And Dez's best fit might be whatever's available, as to your point, he didn't play last year. So, Mike, let's talk about the Ravens offense as currently constructed and with the idea that Dez could be arriving. Does Lamar Jackson have enough weapons around him for this team to take the next level? Because it may be Super Bowl or bust in Baltimore this year.
Phil, that's a really good point. When you look at it, they have two really good running backs, and they really stole J.K. Dobbins to pair with Ingram. You look at their tight ends, they have really two solid tight ends. Nick Boyle, Mark Andrews is very underrated. I think he's a really good tight end. And then you look at the receiver core, they have Willie Sneed inside. He's a good slot receiver. And obviously Hollywood Brown, last year's first round pick, who's explosive. They did draft a couple of players this year at the receiver position, Devin Duvernay and James Crochet from Memphis. I like both those guys. So if they're gonna add a receiver, which I think they should, it would be on the outside. So Dez Bryant makes a ton of sense from a scheme standpoint. And if you add him, now all those other pieces get better because those are less players they could double team. Again, I agree with Kimberly and Booger if it's the same Dez Bryant before the injury. So he really fit. It's a piece they need, and he would fill a big void they currently have.
Well, some veteran receivers are finding work these days. Of course, the 49ers recently signed both Tavon Austin and J.J. Nelson. Maybe Dez Bryant to Baltimore is next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
He's the GOAT on and off the field. Like, it's crazy. You know, he's a superstar, the most accomplished player in our game in history. And, you know, he's just like everybody else. He just works extremely hard. He's always taking care of his body. He's just cool. He's a real down-to-earth guy. And he's already up there as one of my favorite teammates. And we've only had a few practices together. That says a lot, man.
The Bucs are already in pads for practice, as you just saw there. And Tom Brady and Mike Evans and Gronk are getting to work. Here's Tom Brady with Peter King. More thoughts about being in Tampa.
You know, I said this the other day. It's my 30th year playing football, including high school, and this is the first time I've ever had an offensive head coach. So that provides something a little bit different for the quarterback. It's interesting. It's been a lot of work, and it's been enjoyable. And I'm really, you know, I'm motivated to go out there and do a great job.
Well, Brady may be looking forward to playing under an offensive-minded head coach, but looking at the Patriots' offense efficiency, they ranked in the top 10 9 of the last 10 seasons, with 2019 being the only outlier. Arians' teams, meanwhile, have broken into the top 10 just 2 of those 10 seasons. All right, so Booger, you're a Tampa guy. You play for this franchise. You live there now. Let's talk about this more realistically. Yes, Bruce Arians is an offensive-minded head coach, but does that mean that he has a better grasp of how to coach offensive football than Bill Belichick does?
Well, absolutely. You know, most coaches favor one side of the football. You know, I played for John Gruden and Tony Dungy. One's an offensive guy, one's a defensive guy. And it's just the mindset and just how you approach the game. John Gruden is always going to approach the game from an offensive perspective. Practices were scripted that way. The offense got all the kind of premier looks. They got all the time they needed to run certain amount of plays. That's just how offensive guys think. Whereas Tony Dungy, he was about the focus, the crispness. He wanted to make sure there was good on good. There were competitive periods. It didn't matter who won. He wanted to make sure that there was good work on both sides. Offensive guys just want to run as many plays during practice as you can. So there's going to be a benefit. And I think Tom Brady mentioning that lets me know that his conversations that he's had with Bill Belichick over the years, he understands the way Belichick approaches the game. And I think he's excited to talk to an offensive guy like Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, because now they're talking the same things. Josh McDaniels running that offense in New England. Now it's a collaborative effort with Brady, Byron Leftwich, Bruce Arians. I just think he's happy about it. It's a fresh and different perspective.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Arians likes to air it out. He wants to go downfield, and now he's got a trusted tactician who can do that in Brady. You know, Jameis, he threw for what, 5,100 yards last year? He put up statistically better numbers under Arians. But any Buck statistics that you show me, you compare Jameis to Tom Brady, to me it's kind of like apples to oranges, because Tom Brady paired with Bruce Arians is going to give you a different output than you're going to have with Jameis and Bruce Arians. And I think now Bruce Arians, he's got a guy that he can trust. You heard Mike Evans. I mean, that guy is hyped to play with a future Hall of Famer. I think that everything's going to open up for this team. It's going to be a lot better without Jameis. Sorry.
No, hey, don't apologize to me, Kimberly. Mike, Tom Brady was simply stating a fact, right? 30 years of playing football, he has not had a coach who primarily coaches on the offensive side of the ball. But in thinking back to the decision to go from New England to Tampa Bay, if part of the mindset was to go play for Bruce Arians instead of Bill Belichick, should Brady have been careful what he wished for here?
Not at all. I think he was being very authentic, which is, I'm going to be married to a guy that I'm going to be in every meeting with. We're talking about walkthroughs, adjustments, red zone, third down. You're going to be spending a lot of time. It's a real partnership. A lot of my career, I was around defensive coaches, Eric Mangini, Rex Ryan, Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells, and their relationship with the quarterback was somewhat different. They would sit down maybe 15 to 30 minutes a week, talk about strategy from a big picture standpoint. Hey, this is going to be a tough matchup this week, or we feel good about it, and say what they were looking for from the quarterback. This is really about intimacy and being with your head coach all the time. So I think we got to take Tom at his word. And I think there's some real authenticity about him being reinvigorated, new coach, new dynamic. And I expect them, I think it's going to work out well. It may not be perfect from day one because of this unusual offseason, but I think at the end of the season, the Arians-Brady partnership will be a good one.
And let's also talk about the elephant in the room, and Tom Brady didn't mention that. This is the most talented team he's played with, top to bottom, offensively, ever. I mean, when you look at the weapons that Tampa Bay has with Gronk, Howard, and Brady, with Mike Evans and Godwin, and all those offensive weapons, this is the best group of skill guys he's ever played with. So Tom can talk about the coaching staff, and I get it. I don't think this was a shot at Belichick. I think you're looking at a guy who's super authentic and he's super excited because he knows that for the first time, if he just does his part, he has weapons on the outside. And I think Tom Brady is supremely confident in him doing his part. So big things are expected here in Tampa. And Brady just wants to be able to be that ultimate point guard rather than having to do all the work by himself.
Booger, if you get a text from our colleague here at ESPN, Randy Moss, part of that 2007 Patriots team, he had 23 receiving touchdowns. Just don't blame me, man.
Yeah, but Randy was just one guy. I'm talking about the collective group of talent. You're right. Randy's a Hall of Famer, maybe the best receiver ever. But when you look top to bottom at what the Bucs have this year, it's better than what the Patriots had that year with Randy Moss.
Okay. I can't wait for
football. Booger's backtracking a little bit.
Okay, well, I think we can save the debate about the 07 Patriots versus Buccaneers this season, maybe until they actually have a chance to play a game, which I cannot wait for. But Brady will be hoping to lean on Mike Evans like he did Randy Moss in 2007. As a matter of fact, those are the two players in the NFL history with 1,000 receiving yards or more in each of their first six seasons. That's a nice little stat to drop for you for all those out there who are looking to have Mike Evans on their fantasy football team.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Looking back on the long journey it's been, Alex Smith suffered a broken tibia and fibula in week 11 of the 2018 season. And he underwent 17 surgeries to save his life, his leg, and also to battle an infection that started to spread rapidly throughout his leg. 21 months after suffering the injury, Washington removed Smith from the PUP list. Alex Smith's first throw was special, but today was his first throw in a padded practice. Here's head coach Ron Rivera on Alex Smith's progress, as well as what he's seen from his sophomore quarterback, Dwayne Haskins.
He's actually integrated where he's now working with other groups of players. Today, we introduced him back into 7-on-7. The best part about that, he didn't have a pass rush to worry about guys around his feet right now. So we're going to gradually reintroduce him into situational football. It was good. It was good to see him sharp. You see him go through his progressions. And, you know, we'll expand on that role as we see fit. Dwayne did some really good things. I think he's made some really good decisions. And, again, he's a guy that, you know, again, we look at this offense and with these quarterbacks, with all these quarterbacks, these are guys that we're going to talk about decision-making more than we'll be talking about anything else. And I think that's real important.
Let's now welcome in ESPN's Washington reporter, the great John Keim. And, John, this is probably the only quarterback competition in the NFL that actually involves three players, also including, of course, Kyle Allen. How do you see this quarterback competition shaping up so far in the early goings?
Well, Field, right now, I kind of look at it as a competition between Dwayne Haskins and Dwayne Haskins. And I say that because he's the guy that he's 23 years old. He's the guy that they always talk about as talent. They liked how serious he took his offseason from reshaping his body, working on his leadership skills. He's been the guy who's the first quarterback out there in every drill. So if he goes out there and shows what they need, if he brings what he did in the offseason into the training camp and then, of course, into the season, it's his job and it could be for a long time. The problem comes for him is, will he leave that door open? And if he does, that's where Kyle Allen knows the offense. The coaches know him because they had him in Carolina for 2 years. That's a big plus for him. When you're watching practice, he doesn't necessarily jump out. I think he's the kind of guy who over time is going to look better and sharper. And then, of course, Alex Smith. And today, like Ron Rivera said, a big step for him. He got into 7-on-7 work. But even on the day where they took him off the PUP list on Sunday, I was talking to somebody in the organization, and their comment was, they're not going to know where he's really at until he gets into 11-on-11 work. That's when they'll know, does he have the suddenness to play in the pocket that you need in the NFL to escape out of trouble and to avoid trouble. Right now in the 7-on-7, he's relying on being a veteran, getting his body moved through his progressions. All looks good. But until we get to that point where we see him in an 11-on-11 situation and showing that suddenness, I think it's going to be hard to throw him into that competition at this point.
You're all over it, John. We thank you very much for the insight. And again, on the three-man weave at the quarterback competition in Washington. And Kimberly, you were in Washington when Alex Smith was introduced. What have you learned about being around or learned from him and being around him for a couple of years?
You know, when I was at the Washington Post, I did a big sit-down story, cover story, on Alex Smith in his first training camp, right before his first training camp in Washington. And we talked about how he was finally in the right headspace. There was no more, he didn't need validation anymore. Like, he understood that everything that happened in San Francisco, everything that happened in Kansas City, being passed over, another young guy coming in, he was finally with an organization that wanted him, that the coaches were so thrilled, the players were so thrilled to have him. And Alex finally was the guy again. And it was, you know, he talked about, you know, everything in his NFL career hasn't been easy. And to come to Washington, it seemed like that was going to be that tipping point for him. And to see what happened, it's just like, again, history repeating itself. Everything came crashing down. So it is just remarkable to see him on a field now.
Certainly a guy who has overcome a lot and probably will continue to do so in life. But Booger, Dwayne Haskins was their first-round pick last year, and John Keim just said he's competing against himself. They have to start him, right?
You know what, Phil? There's so much at play here. There's the fact that the owner, Daniel Snyder, handpicked Dwayne Haskins. There's the fact that you have a new coach in Ron Rivera who's open to just playing the best guy. Then there's Alex Smith, who's coming off an injury that we all thought was catastrophic and he was never going to play again. I think if you looked at it this way, based on the fact that the owner has his handpicked guy, you would think that Dwayne Haskins has the upper hand in this job. But I'm not going to count out Alex Smith. He's already proven us wrong so many times as far as coming back from this injury. And I think that if he's healthy and he shows that he can move around in the pocket, his demeanor and just his ability from a veteran standpoint to read defenses and process information quickly. Let's not forget, the last time we saw him play a full year in Kansas City, they were a playoff football team, and he was playing some of the best football of his career. I just don't know. I want to see him in 11-on-11 drills, as John Keim said. But right now, if you ask me to use some of Mike Tannenbaum's money that he made with the Jets, I would put money on Dwayne Haskins.
There's a little less of that money available, Booger, because the Colts beat us. So I just want to be – we got to the championship game. We didn't get to the Super Bowl. Just I want to make that clear. However, here's what I would say. If the question is who's starting opening day, I'm going with Alex Smith, and here's why. He has 190 starts. Dwayne Haskins only has 21. I like Dwayne Haskins' talent. I like his upside. Again, same theme. Very unusual offseason. No OTAs, no joint practices, no preseason games, new coach, new scheme. Alex Smith is the more experienced player by a margin of 10. Now, what's more important is this medical situation. I've been in those meetings quite a bit in my career. When the doctors clear a player like they have taken Alex Smith off of PUP. This is now a coaching decision. We are evaluating Alex Smith as a football player, nothing else. It was a great story how he got here, but now the coach has to make the best decision possible, who's playing the best. And I agree with what Booger said, which is 11 on 11 is going to be consequential here. How does he move? How does he react? But everything else right now is background noise. But I do think if he looks anywhere close to where he was in the past, he should start because he will give them the best chance to be successful early despite Haskins' upside long term.
Mike, as long as he's not a liability to himself and the team on the field, you know, if you're a defensive player coming off the edge and you see Alex Smith sitting there, you want, like, you can't stop. Like, you're going full speed and you want to make sure that Alex is protecting himself. That to me is a major concern. But again, can't count him out, but I'm a little worried about him.
Now, I got to tell you, Kimberly, if I were a defensive player playing against Alex Smith, I'd be nervous myself just thinking about how much he has gone through and how warped that leg was during that long, arduous recovery process. A note on Alex Smith, he is signed through 2022, so he has some time to make this comeback even more complete. He's making $23.5 million per year on his current contract. Nick Chubb, the Browns' star running back, is in concussion protocol, and he will not practice today. That, of course, comes from Jake Trotter, our Browns reporter for ESPN. On the defensive side of the ball for the Bears, tests today showed that cornerback Artie Burns tore his ACL, according to a source. That's, of course, from Adam Schefter, who notes that Jalen Johnson, their second-round cornerback out of Utah, may need to be ready to be their opening day starting right cornerback. Let's keep it in Chicago, as the quarterback competition is heating up. Mitchell Trubisky was the first quarterback in the huddle on Monday. On Tuesday, it was Nick Foles' time in the huddle at Bears practice. Here's Trubisky and how camp is going for him so far as this competition heats up in advance of week one.
We got a great quarterback room, Nick, Tyler, and I, and just getting to know Nick and everything he's about. I mean, we're teammates first. Competition aside, we got to have each other's back, and it's been supportive in the quarterback room and on the field, just pushing each other, making sure that we're both getting better as individuals and as a quarterback room. So it's been nothing but positive.
Mitch and I's job is to go out there and just execute these plays and help this team. So that's what we're doing. They have different rotations every day. I don't know specifically how it is. It doesn't matter. We're going to go against first, second, third, who knows. The big thing is going in there and executing the plays and focusing on the plays and, you know, getting better.
We want to see the tempo in and out of the huddle at a really good speed. I think right now as an offense in whole, we can be a little bit better, and we always start with the quarterback direct in that. So I'm anxious to watch the tape today with the coaches and see where the good things and the bad things were.
All right, Mike, this is a legit competition, but who's the starter come week one for the Bears under center?
Field, this one is easy. You have a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Nick Foles, and then you have Mitch Trubisky, who was 30th in yards per pass attempt last year. And Booger knows as a former player that when you're a head coach or a general manager, your locker room is going to create checks and balances. You can't go in there in good conscience and say that Mitch Trubisky gives us the best chance to win. The NFL is the ultimate meritocracy. We are here to win games. Nick Foles has the better resume. He's the better player. And most importantly, in 2020, he will give that team the best chance to win.
All right, Booger, so how does Mitch Trubisky win this job if he does have a chance to win this job?
Well, first of all, I don't think he has a chance to win the job because the Bears went out and sought to find a guy like Nick Foles, a guy with the credentials that Mike Tannenbaum laid out, and also with the familiarity with the offense. So I think Nick Foles is going to win the job. However, if you're asking me to lay out a blueprint to which Mitch Trubisky can attempt to, here's what I would say. He's got to be better at the little things. He's got to be more in command of the offense. He has an inherent advantage that he's been there already. So he has familiarity with the players, the system. He understands what they want from an offensive perspective, what Matt Nagy wants to look like when he breaks the huddle. So he already has the upper hand. The key is, can he do it? Can he do it in crunch time? And I think that's the key. They've seen what Mitch Trubisky is like under pressure. They've seen him go around the facility turning TVs off and all that good stuff. They know what that's like. That's more mental pressure. So can you show your coaching staff, can you show your teammates that mentally you've matured? Can you show them a better grasp of the offensive system? Those are things that you just got to do day in and day out in practice. I don't know if he can do it. I would be willing to bet that he can't, which is the reason why that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace went out and got Nick Foles. So I think Nick Foles is going to be the starter. Otherwise, why would you bring that guy in and kind of upset the apple cart with a guy you took 2 overall in Mitch Trubisky?
It's a clean sweep. I think Nick Foles will be the starter. Here's the thing, though. I think there's a difference between what the Bears, who the Bears would prefer to start and who the Bears should start. I think if you're looking at it with Nick Foles, they brought him in here because Mitch Trubisky, like Booger was saying, it's all in here. The confidence is an issue. That's his biggest issue. And it's Mitch against Mitch. He's got to figure out how to make it work on the field. And we've seen what Nick Foles can do. But this is who the organization drafted. And it's now, what, 3 years, 4 years that we've seen Mitch on the field. And we still don't know.
Man, still don't know. I don't want to remind anybody who else was drafted in the 2017 NFL draft.
I didn't want to say it.
Okay.
I didn't want to say
it. I won't say it. I will not say Patrick Mahomes' name. But anyways, Jay Cutler is the last quarterback to start and win a playoff game for the Bears. That happened all the way back in 2010. Can't wait, Laura. We got some news here on NFL Live. It's new on NFL Live from who else but Shefty. The Cowboys released defensive tackle Gerald McCoy via an injury waiver on his quad, per source. Now, more on this. Gerald McCoy has an injury waiver on his quad in his contract. If he hurts his quad, which he did, they can cut him, according to a source, and they did cut him. He can keep the $3 million bonus that the Cowboys paid him up front, but the Cowboys appear not to owe him anymore. All right, so this is sort of inside baseball stuff, but Mike, you're our front office insider. Help us work through what this situation actually means. The Cowboys have cut Gerald McCoy. That much we know. There's an injury waiver. Tell us a little bit more about the mechanics of this transaction.
So, Phil, typically an injury waiver would come into play when you want to sign a player with a pre-existing injury like this situation, although I haven't read the contract. And basically, the player would be liable if anything happened to that body part subsequently, and the guarantee or the signing bonus would cover the player if he hurt anything else. So in this case, unfortunately for Gerald McCoy, since he hurt a pre-existing body part, the Cowboys can waive the player, and now it voids the guarantee because the specific injury happened a second time.
Yeah, that's yikes, because he was due $9 million guaranteed. But how about from a football standpoint, Booker, how much does this loss, and we know this happened a couple of days ago, how much does this matter to this Cowboys defensive front?
Well, I think it matters a lot because Gerald was going to be that three technique inside. Just think about what Fletcher Cox does for the Eagles, what Grady Jarrett does for the Falcons, what Aaron Donald does. You need that pass rush. Also, they lost Robert Quinn in Chicago. DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be on the edge. You don't know what you're going to get out of Aldon Smith. I get it. They signed Everson Griffin. But none of those players I mentioned are that three technique inside pushing the pocket for those ends to collapse. So we will see what some of these young guys, I think Tristan Hill, they drafted out of UCF. They're hoping those young guys can step up, but it's going to be a major void in the middle of this Mike Nolan defense.
Yeah, he was going to be easy production. He was going to be easy production for this team. It's a shame.
Yeah, it really is a shame. We hate all these preseason injuries. And for the Cowboys, as we know, the expectations this year are not to be good. They are to be great. Gerald McCoy out for the season and no longer a Cowboy. Coming up next, Around the Horn, all sorts of sports talk.